Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, I don't mean to be too strict, but the music you were playing when I walked in didn't seem to be something we've talked about on the show. You know, that's against our policies, and that's your third violation, which means you will be suspended.
No, wait, Jim, I swear, that was Hall & Oates I was playing, really.
I'm sorry, Patrick, there is no way that was Hall & Oates.
No, Jim, please, I'm serious, Jim, wait, no!
And then what happens? I don't know. And then you're back.
I'm back.
Okay. Okay, Patrick, remember a while back we talked with Barrett Reese?
Yes, we did.
And he's one of our big supporters, and mm-hmm. we had him on the show as part of our Patreon campaign. Go to patreon.com/suburbspod and mm-hmm. see how you can get involved with the show. Please do. And Barrett wanted to talk about perfect albums.
Yes.
Right? Albums that, the way he defined it, if I'm remembering correctly, was an album that you really should listen to every track beginning to end, that there's really no other way you would sequence it, that you can't just remove one song. You know, it's just, this is a complete body of work, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we talked about some of our favorites and so on. And then, of course, we got some comments from some other listeners, and we're going to address that now.
Okay.
So, this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And on an earlier episode, you also heard from one of our listeners named Stephen Routledge, mm-hmm. and he talked about new music. He likes to call and talk about new music. And at the end of that call, he started to talk about perfect album.
Yes.
And so we cut that off.
Right.
Like, nope, we're going to save that.
We got
this episode.
Else.
So let's go finish that up first.
Okay, cool.
And then we have another call from another listener.
In closing, I really enjoyed the episode that you did with Barrett Reese about perfect albums. Naturally, this got me to thinking what I consider to be perfect albums. And there's quite a few on that list for me, but the first that came to mind is Suede's 1997 epic masterpiece Dogman Star. Whilst their self-titled debut was good, Dogman Star takes it to a whole new level of excellence. Much like your pick of Fables of the Reconstruction, it starts with some weird guitar sounds on introducing the band, and that serves as a sort of perfect prologue to the whole album. From there on, it's nothing but the highest quality. Through the more stereotypical Suede sound of We Are the Pigs and Heroin, the perfect pop of the Wild Ones and the Power via the Beatlesque Daddy Spooning, and you've got the hard rocking New Generation, This Hollywood Life, aching torch songs of The Two of Us and Black and Blue, before the truly epic Asphalt World, and then the cinematic close of Still Life. Whilst all these songs work individually, as an album, I think it's beyond improvement. It's certainly a perfect album to my ears. I mean, Suede was so good during this period that they even left another Stone Cold classic in Stay Together off of the album, which came out as a single beforehand. I mean, most other bands, that would have been centrepiece of the album, and it didn't even make the cut. I consider that, I think that's another perfect pop song as well. I mean, so if you take those sessions, there's three just there along with The Wild Ones and The Power. Unfortunately, it was all over us by this point because Bernard Butler, the guitarist, had gone before the album even came out, and they never hit those heights again, in my opinion. Others may disagree, but for me, they never reached those heights again. The darkness and intensity of the album is clearly sort of reflecting the real situation for the band, or at least Brett Anderson and Bernard Butler's relationship during its making. So, that's my submission, or first submission, for Perfect Albums, Dogman Star by Suede. So, okay, I think that'll do it for this month. So, keep rocking the suburbs every day, and let's go Browns.
There's a song playing on the radio. Sky high in the airwaves on the morning. There's a lifeline slipping as the record plays. As I open the blinds of my mind, I'm believing that you.
What do you know about Suede, a.k.a. the London Suede?
You know, I don't know a whole lot about this band. I have to tell you, Jim, I caught up with them sort of in reverse because I was assigned at one point to cover a Bernard Butler solo concert when he was touring America. And I really wasn't familiar with this band, and I had to go back and sort of do my homework. This must have been in the late 90s, early 2000s. So, I got to trust Steven on this. You know, it's been a while since I've listened to Sway, but I mean, Steven's word is pretty much gold for me. If he's saying this is a stone cold classic and they left off a song that would be a hit single or a centerpiece of an album for the rest of it, I think it's definitely something I have to go back and revisit.
All right. Well, thank you for the pick there, Steven.
Absolutely.
And we got another call from John Off.
Hey, Jim and Patrick, this is John Off from Bunker Hill. Just 20 miles from the idyllic island of Kokomo, Indiana. If it's any consolation, people in Kokomo hate that song too. Hey, I loved your topics for the last couple of weeks. I'm specifically calling on the podcast you did on being able to listen to albums all the way through. Had some thoughts on that. Since I am older, and it probably shows, kind of think of the album as the purest form of a collection of music. You know, what to start off with, what to end the first side with, what to begin the second side with, and then most importantly, what to end the album with. So started off me having them as albums, so I continue to think of them as albums. The first one, though, I did probably the one CD that I think is the most perfect CD I own. I have it on CD and listen to it all the way through or not at all, would be Tom Petty and Wildflowers. I think that was Rick-produced CD. And if you only know it from the hits, then you're missing out because there's a ton of great songs on there. It's Good to Be King, Cabin Down Below, Crawling Back to You, Honeybee. Great ones. And then my next ones are ones I had as albums, my holy trinity that I do listen to just all the way through. Dark Side of the Moon, I know you guys aren't huge Pink Floyd fans, but I think that one is pretty much self-explanatory.
Your life will ever be. Run,
I listened to Led Zeppelin 4 all the way through. I think that they are all solid tracks. Some people don't like Four Sticks, but I think that holds its own. The other tracks that aren't hits are equally as good. And then the one that I really make a point of listening to, if I have like 45 minutes, I'm driving somewhere, would be Blood on the Tracks by Bob Dylan. I think he's at his most sarcastic, plaintive, all those things rolled into one. And I guess, again, Tangled Up in Blue, if you only know that song and don't know some of the other ones, you're really missing out. I mean, I love Idiot Wind.
Even you, yesterday.
It's at least as biting as positively 4th Street. So those are my three that I do listen to all the time. I'm going to throw a couple others at you. The first two Oasis albums before everything went to hell are pretty good listens all the way through. The first one definitely maybe sounds like a greatest hits album to me.
You are.
And then What's the Story, Morning Glory afterwards. Again, lots of great songs. I'm going to throw one in there that you might not necessarily be aware of. Everybody knows Hall & Oates as being a blue-eyed soul hit-making machine, but I have the album, the second one they ever made, and it's called Abandoned Luncheonette. It doesn't really have all that slick production in it, but I listened to that all the way through every track on there, and I think there's eight of them are fantastic. So, Jim and Patrick, this is John Off again from Bunker Hill, just finishing up. Sorry, I didn't want to pull an Echo Park Jimmy on you there. But yeah, the Hall & Oates second album, also very good. I'm also going to say, if you happen to like this kind of music, power pop, Blue Oyster Cult's Agents of Fortune, yes, it has Don't Fear the Reaper on there. A lot of these just have one hit, and a lot of people only know them by that. But that has a lot of solid songs all the way through. And then one just might be weird to me is I really love New Order's album, Get Ready. We're having a time of our lives. We're lost in a cruel paradise. I just found that out a couple of months ago, and since then I've been playing that all the way through, probably every day. I love that album from beginning to end. So again, I've really been liking the topics you guys had today. Love the ones about cutting the two LP double album down to one. Had some thoughts on that. I agree with most of what you said. I'm really glad that you put Revolution 9 on there for a couple of you. I would like to take one exception with While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I think that's a great song. I think it's been proven over the test of time over that. Also, oh yeah, I forgot. I did like that you put Helter Skelter on there. Classic. I was afraid you guys were going to leave that off there. So love these topics. Keep up the good work as always. Thanks for the CD, mixtape, and talk to you soon. This is John Off from Bunker Hill. Thanks.
What a great call.
Fantastic. Great to hear from John. Bunker Hill, stop two on our summer tour whenever we get that going.
Yep.
How far is Grand Rapids from Bunker Hill? It's not too far. We may have to route differently, but we'll get there.
All right.
It's near Kokomo.
That's right. That's all you need to know, right? So let's just go through these really quickly here, Patrick. Mm-hmm. A number of perfect albums that he picked. Starts with Tom Petty, Wildflowers, which was from the 90s. And I remember when we were doing the Petty tribute shows that came up more than once.
Yeah.
It is one of those albums I think has grown over time.
For sure.
The Rick Rubin production is really spot on. He sounds really great. And it has some really solid songwriting on that record, mm-hmm. really emotional and heartfelt. And I think that's an interesting pick, but I think that's a solid choice for a perfect album.
Yep.
And people who aren't familiar with the Wildflowers album, go check that out.
Check it out.
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. Probably a lot of people would pick that.
Yeah,
I don't know why John thinks we're not Pink Floyd fans. I may not be the biggest Pink Floyd fan, but you're
a pretty big Pink Floyd fan, right? Yeah, Dark Side of the Moon's a huge classic, and I think that's a great shout. I don't think there's anything you could take off of there.
It's one of those records that even for me, just being sort of a casual Pink Floyd fan, mm-hmm. I went out and bought it. I have it in my collection.
It's one of those ones you have to have.
That's right. So that says something. Led Zeppelin 4. We talked about Led Zeppelin recently. A lot of people would not argue with that.
Nope.
Here you go. Bob Dylan, Blood on the Tracks.
Absolutely a great, great choice there. I totally agree. I mean, it's the last true Dylan complete masterpiece where there's no holes in the composition. It was a true rebirth for him in the mid-1970s. And if you don't know that Dylan album, certainly go and listen to it from start to finish. But it does, you know, it's cyclical in many ways, tells a story. There is that anger and fierceness to Bob that hadn't been there for quite a while, probably since the motorcycle accident. So I've heard it said many times, and I think it might have been Dylan himself who said it proudly that was Keith Richards' favorite of his work. Yeah. So that says a lot right there.
If you were ranking Dylan albums, would this be at the top for you? Or
Probably not.
But I'm close to it.
Yeah, it would definitely be in the top five.
Now, He mentioned the first two Oasis albums. yeah, I thought we might lose you a little bit there.
A little bit.
Well, here's the funny thing about Oasis. I think I bought both of those two albums when they came out. Oasis has kind of gone in reverse. It seems like they've gotten, in some ways, like less respected over time than other bands.
Strange. Mm-hmm.
But I would agree totally with what John is saying. I think those first two albums, you know, if you're into the Oasis sound, like that's where they really bring it. And after that, you can pretty much discount, I think, a lot of the work that came after that.
Certainly, they didn't help themselves with their behavior and, you know, public image after those first two. But that's what a lot of Britpop is built on, those first two records.
I will say this, and I think maybe this is more the case with the second album, What's the Story, Morning Glory, maybe. Listen to that sometime on headphones. It does have a really, really big sound. And if you like power pop kind of sound, like I'm thinking like that Cheap Trick, almost kind of like big studio sound, they definitely bring it on there, and it's really powerful. Okay. Now, here's a curveball. The Hall & Oates Abandoned Luncheonette.
I'm glad this came up.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll tell you this story about this.
Okay.
So when I worked at a record store, at the time it was Musicland, later to become Sam Goody, one of the things they would do is they would put an artist's back catalog on sale when they had a hit album.
Yes.
So
makes sense.
You know, you'd see like the flyer in your newspaper back when they would do like a circular. That would be like, oh, discounted $5.99, you know, new album. So in 1984, Hall & Oates had an album called Big Bam Boom. I don't know if you remember this record.
Sort of.
But one of the things they did was they put the back catalog on sale. And so our manager at the time, Nick, loved that guy. I don't know whatever happened to him, but he had a habit of calling everybody Tex. I'm not sure if he knew our names, but he would say, hey, Tex. but anyway, the store policy for in-store play was you had to play something that was on sale or was in stock. You couldn't go take, you know, the one copy of The Clash's Sandinista and put it on the turntable. And so what did we do all the time? We took the one copy of Sandinista and put it on the turntable. But he was a big fan of Abandoned Luncheonette, and he would play that.
Can you see my past? Can you find my future? Should I take it slower? Till my life is over. Oh, Lady Rain, is it all begun down in pain? Lady Rain, there's something head down on my shoulder. Let it rain. Dear cloudy eyes, see me much older. Oh, the days I've lost, hoping and pretending that my life would flow smooth and slow, but it's ending. Oh, Lady Rain, is it I'll be gone?
Never liked Hall & Oates except for a few things, but that album is different. It's got that classic Philly soul to it. It's got some strong songwriting on it, really cool harmonies, and they were really talented dudes.
I think this would be worth exploring a little bit more maybe down the road, because I don't really know it that well either, but I do remember, if I'm remembering this correctly, once on the old show when we were on the road trip and we were in Asheville, North Carolina. Remember we went to that little low power radio station and that guy was he was talking up this album, recall correctly.
He was like playing cuts something from it,
on there. Mm-hmm. And this was like, you know, total like hipster indie guy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Low power in Asheville FM radio
station.
That's
right.
Couldn't be more hipster.
So I was sort of like, maybe I should listen to this record. And I think I did, but
good memory.
Maybe not enough. I need to go back.
Yeah.
I am sort of fascinated sometimes when you have those artists who became really huge, and Hall & Oates for a period of time was really huge.
Oh, good Lord.
About as big as it gets for a period of time there in the early 80s, especially. But I do find it sort of fascinating sometimes when you go to the albums before they became big, you know, and what were they doing? And, so, you know, in some cases, obviously, you'll find that artists hadn't really figured out their sound quite right, or maybe the records, right. You know, the songwriting was not quite up to par or whatever. But in some cases, like in this case, you'll find that maybe they were doing something really cool, but they kind of had to change for commercial reasons.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is kind of fascinating, right?
This is a great one, folks. If you have people over and you're playing music, slip this on and see what people think, because they probably won't right away know what it is, but they might be like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like, what is this? And see if they know it's Hall & Oates.
Yeah, this is everyone's homework for the show. Give Abandoned Luncheonette a listen, because now it's easy to stream everything.
Absolutely.
I'm going to assume it's on the streaming services.
Yeah. Blue-Eyed Soul.
And tell us what you think. Maybe we'll just do a show down the road with just people's reactions to this lost,
let's do it,
weird Hall & Oates record, right? Okay. All right. So there you go. And then two more. John mentioned, I know you're a big fan of this band, Blue Oyster Cult, Agents
absolutely.
Of Fortune.
Mm-hmm. A solid later album wouldn't be the one I would pick.
He described it as power pop.
Do you maybe
get that out
no,
of it?
No, not so much. I mean, I don't think of that, because Blue Oyster Cult had three guitar players in their band, and I think of it as more of like a serpentine kind of rock and roll thing. I would pick the first album or Tyranny Mutation, but Agent's Fortune is good. It does have the big hit, you know.
Yeah. All right. And then New Order, Get Ready.
That's one that I couldn't tell you what's on it.
So we have more homework
for
people.
That would be the other one.
Is this right? It came out in 2001?
Maybe.
No.
It's
Is that right?
Definitely a later period album.
Huh.
Much later.
I don't really know it either. So I'm gonna go listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
Yes.
I do love New Order. So if
Me too.
There's a record that I missed that I should listen to, then I'm happy that this exists.
Yeah, that's great.
So I will check that out. Okay, well, thank you very much. If anyone else would like to call and talk about perfect albums, we'll certainly accept your calls.
Absolutely.
We do like it when people call in and we can hear your voice and, you know, get a lot of explanation. We did get, I want to say, we did get a lot of comments on Facebook around this episode too, but it was mostly just people just naming albums without any like real reason for why they think it's perfect. And so that was great. We appreciate that. But if you want to get on the show, we need a little something
Some
more.
Context. For,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and the call is the best way to do it.
Absolutely. And I'll also say, way to go, Barrett. I mean, he used his time to be able to come on the show for a really thought-provoking topic.
That's
so that's another reason to donate at that Patreon level, because then you can control the conversation.
That's exactly it. We let you pick the topic.
That's right.
That's right. So, a couple things. If you want to call, leave a message. It's 612-440-1984. If you want to contribute and be a guest star on the show, you go to patreon.com/suburbspod.
Yep.
Other ways you can interact with us, you can email us rock@suburbspod.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod, or you can open the window and yell.
Just yell.
Bud especially likes that. he does that a lot,
yeah,
I think.
He does.
All right. Let's get out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
Hit it! What I want, you got a choice. Gotta make the right selection. Obama or McCain?
Yeah, yeah.
Two great candidates that you can choose to vote for. You can pick the cool black guy or a weird old man who's lame.
Hold up.
Where were you?
Woo, 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 woo.
Obama makes my dreams come true.
McCain's good too. McCain.
I agree with you, McCain is bad.
I didn't say that.
But Obama's really good.
Not cool. You changed the words to suit your liberal agenda.
Well, I heard
sing most of the song.
Yes, that's true.